Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
The little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Fetchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now, coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Primetime with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Mary. From Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is indeed The Fetch, and you are indeed listening to Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Today's date is June, I think, 17. I lose track of time between all the time zones, but it's Thursday, June 17th, 2021. And a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. Summer is just around the corner now, I guess, huh? It's what, a couple more days, something like that? Maybe four more days. Not sure exactly when, but I think it's around 4 days. I know it's around 4 days, actually. So do you. But of course, here in Riyadh, we've been pretty much in the summer heat since right around Memorial Day, maybe a few days before the Memorial Day weekend in the United States. So it's just going to be hot now until about October. Temperatures today hit Not so bad, 106 degrees. And then towards the middle of the afternoon, winds started to pick up. And of course, as that happens, the dust starts to come and then the visibility starts to go. And you're breathing. You got to be careful. I don't wear masks typically. I swear everybody's wearing masks here. It's insane. But anyways, yeah, I didn't wear a mask today, but I should have probably with all the dust in the air. But nonetheless, hot day, but not so bad. Tonight's been kind of, I don't know, because I'm keeping everything shut because of the wind. I've got kind of a dusty house here. But so I don't really know what it's like tonight. But I think I looked and the temperature was something like 85 degrees now, just about now, coming after 1 o'clock in the morning. We're going to be going down to 79 degrees in the early morning hours. And then tomorrow it's going to be somewhat cool, just 103 degrees. Projected, and then we're going to have a daytime, an overnight low of 77. So that should be kind of cool. But with all the breeze, you're not going to be able to open up the windows and really enjoy it. It's just kind of disastrous. You know, with all this heat wave, of course, energy is on everybody's mind because everybody's running air conditioners and things of that nature. In really the southwest of the United States, it was kind of weird today because I was reading off of my phone. You know, we have the phone feed and I've kind of tailored Google's feed anyways to kind of give me stories I like. I kind of delete a lot of crap from that. And they're one of the few feeds that allow me to just delete. I don't want to hear about this. I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear anything from NBC News. I don't want to see anything from CNN. And they actually let you delete that. So I find that actually kind of a cool service in that regard. So I kind of get the feed I want. And then coming in from California today, it said that California is asking residents to reduce their air conditioning between 5 and 10 p.m. And I'm like, what? You know, why 5 and 10 p.m.? I mean, that's kind of weird. The story, I just didn't get through the whole story. I was just reading the first paragraph. You know, it kind of pops up on the feed. Well, kind of sitting down here preparing for the show, I learned why. It's all about green energy. Known, but I never thought of it, quite frankly, because I never heard of that in California. Normally, they would tell us to reduce the air conditioning and turn up the thermostat during the daytime hours, because that's peak. But they're saying, oh, no. The peak time now, the difficult time is between 5 and 10 in the evening. And the reason why is, first of all, they got very high temperatures over large geographical areas. Those of you in the western part of the United States, you kind of know that. But, you know, above 110 degrees, actually hotter than it is here at the moment. So you have a Mr. Elliot Mainzer. He's the CEO of the California ISO. Now, that must be a new commission. I've never heard of the California ISO, but it operates apparently the grid in most of California. And what they're doing is saying, hey, look, we need you guys to turn things down or up as far as the thermostat, up to 78 degrees between 5 to 10 p.m. and just kind of use as little energy as you can between 5 and 10. And the reason why this is so is because of green energy, which I never would have, it just didn't dawn on me. Apparently, what happens is that as the sun starts to set, the solar panels, which provides about 22% of the electricity on the grid, which is actually okay, that's impressive enough, but it's providing that 22%, but of course, as the sun goes down, guess what? There goes your energy. And so that means that between 5 and 10, you're losing 22% of your energy every day. And that's when people come home from work. They want to cool off their house. It's been hot. They want to enjoy their dinner maybe with a little bit of a comfortable environment. And you can't do that because of what? Green energy. Now, I'm not against green energy. I'm all for clean energy. No problem for that. However, when it comes to running the power grid in a state, a county, a geographical area, my opinion of that is it should be like the old telecommunications environment. And in the old telecommunications environment, we had a 99.999% uptime, and it was known as five nines. So essentially, before packet technology, which started to come around 1998, 1999, you had something known as five nines. And what that meant is the network, the telephone network, had to be up 99.999% of the time. Now, that, of course, was, you know, with all this anti-white stuff going around, those standards, 99.999%, were set by white people, engineered by white people in a generally white country. So essentially what we had mandated was a telephone system that was always online, never offline. And if you went offline, you were actually fined for that. You would, okay, sorry, violation, we're going to fine you. It's kind of like, I guess, a football game. If you kind of go off sides, you know, by one step, you're still off sides, throw the flag, and we're going to get you for that. And that's how it used to be. And in my opinion, frankly, although we may not be able to reach five nines, we should never be in a situation where, because of the decisions of incompetent bureaucrats and grid operators, we're actually having to conduct perhaps rolling blackouts along large geographical areas. And this includes not just California, but Texas also is experiencing the same thing right now. It is absolute incompetence. In fact, it's criminal negligence. If anybody dies or there's a fire or anything caused by this level of incompetence. And ours, look, if you know that you're going to be losing 22% of your energy between 5 and 10 because your decisions as an operator takes electricity offline, then it is incumbent upon you to replace that energy with something else to keep it up at least close to a 5.9. Let's do away with this diversity mindset of incompetence, half-assed measures, non-professionalism, whining about whatever it is because, oh, we're going to be green. I don't know what they're whining about, quite frankly. I'm sure there's some whining somewhere because they're saying to the consumers, don't burn between 5 and 10. Don't use your air conditioner. Don't do anything. But no, again, this is another classic case of bureaucrats, politicians simply being incompetent. And really, when you look at the level of corruption now, in the United States, and it's not just the U.S., it's the U.K., Canada, too. But when you look at it in the United States, I mean, it's like the entire layer of senior corporate and institutional organizations are just simply corrupt. We are living now in a total clown world where there's no professionalism. There's complete delusional mindsets, you know, they're going to push their LGBT agenda. Nobody wants that pushed in their face. It's such a small minority of people out there. They want to push transgenderism. They want to put men in the women's bathrooms and the girls' bathrooms, really. Actually, they're still girls. They're not of age yet. High school, etc. They want to put boys in the high school locker rooms with the girls. And you got girls going now before school board saying, hey, everybody knows what a boy is, okay? You don't need to tell us this. They're pretending to be girls, you know? Everybody knows what boys are. And it's just, we are living in a world today where the leadership is totally out of touch with any sense of reality. It's almost like, you know, we're really looking at something where the insane are running the asylum. And I don't know how else to, there's many ways to describe it. I can come up with a few, but nonetheless, that's kind of the situation we're in today. Now, going back to the power grid, once again, 22% of the power goes out after the sun goes down. So therefore they're saying stop everything. But here's another interesting thing. Between August 20 and February, 2021, they had to conduct multiple rolling blackouts in both Texas and California due to the incompetence of the operators. Bottom line, they don't know how to provide enough electricity. Again, if anything happens, I'm talking about a fire, somebody dies because they lose their electricity, anything happens, we should, you know, the only way you're going to put a stop to this is you consider it criminal negligence and you charge the operators. And you do put them in prison. Listen, you're like this benighted thing, a public service, semi-public, private, semi-public, private servant. And you can't even run your freaking organization to where what's going on in California now. This is just incompetence. They're just not investing and doing a good job. They want to be cheap. They want to be incompetent, and they should be held criminally negligent. And here's the thing going forward, guys. Just to close the story out real quick, though, by the way, the average daily five-year average for electricity in Texas, the five-year average, $33 per megawatt hour. Today, it's now 100. It's about around 100. So you're talking about really, a three times increase in the average price for electricity right now in Florida. So again, the incompetence, and if anybody's dying or there's fires or some type of thing happens, that to me should become criminal negligence. That's just my opinion on what is going on. Now, I don't know what's going on in the UK. Seriously, what's going on in the UK? But a few stories coming out of the UK. Number one, and I don't know if this story is true or not, but they're supposed to have now this voluntary COVID testing, right? And I'm going to backtrack before I get into this story. You know, years and years and years and years ago, I was writing something, wrote hundreds of articles, quite frankly, about the esoteric construction of the English language. It's actually what brought me to the internet, brought me to some moderate acclaim. I had appeared on A Cult of Personality. I had appeared back in the day on, I forget the guy's name now. He's been out of the spotlight for so long, but somebody at Oracle, I forget his name. Oh, the Celtic Rebel. I appeared on Red Ice Radio for my work on the English language. And it had quite a following. It had well over a million views back in the day, was getting really good exposure. And I recall reading way back then about the difference between the continental Europe, meaning Germany, largely Germany, and the UK. And during the Reformation period, the Germans made huge strides in science and technology, from musical instruments to mechanical products, etc. So the Germans had advanced way beyond what the British were capable of in the 1600s during the Renaissance period. So what the British did, according to this theory, this some guy, and it's years ago that I wrote this, what the British did is they went out and they put their efforts into mysticism, metaphysical type of ideas, magic. And it's from there that we get a lot of these schools. So if you look at 007, James Bond 007, well, that's an old British magician thing. I forget the guy's name even. I've got all this out of my head. The story came to me just before the show today. I thought that's interesting. Because now when we look at what's going on in the UK, it's largely all about spellbinding. It's all about spell casting. It's nothing really to do with technology. Sure, the British are really good in radar. You know, you've got Serco and a few other companies. The British are really, really, really good in electronics, electronic surveillance, radars, things of this nature. They got the expertise during World War II, and they kept building and building and building on it. So this is one of the British's real technological edges. But when it comes to the other stuff, look, it's a small island. Nothing personal, you guys from the UK. I'm telling the truth. But of course, they had a great manufacturing base. Some of their greatest cities were some of the powerhouse manufacturing bases for quite some time. Now they're basically hell holes filled with third world immigrants. So they're basically the industrial base. It's not entirely gone, but largely gone. But in the UK, we have again this thing about metaphysics, spell casting. You think about the city of London. What is it? It's all just a mirage. It's, you know, creating money out of nothing, creating systems of fraud and deception that allow through some type of really fraudulent legal system for the city of London to control quite a bit of the economic activity of really large swaths of the world. But again, it's metaphysics, it's magic. So now turning fast, you know, go fast forward to today, whether this is true or not, I haven't double checked it, but according to a piece that came to me, there's a voluntary COVID testing has recently started in some parts of the UK with children. And one company involved with this fear mongering, because that's what it is. It's just fear mongering. I'm reading through the papers. Oh, cases are spiking in the UK again. It's all just a bunch of BS. We just can't seem to put this beast down. But the company is called Ipsos Mori. Okay, I'm not a great Latin guy, but somebody brought that to my attention, that what that means is they die. And again, spellcasting, put it in right in front of your face. Now, can you imagine? You have a company called Ipsos Mori. They die, and they're responsible for the voluntary COVID testing for children in the UK. Another classic case of a little bit of hidden spellbinding that kind of tells you what's going on inside of the UK. So it says here, people who research know exactly what's going on right now. That's very true. We really do know what's going on. At least we have a very good handle on it. It's more complicated than even we know, of course, because we only have such vision. But the average TV watcher, you know, what do they know? You're talking about really brain dead people. And how is that accomplished? Again, it's accomplished through the airwaves, through the medium, through the very technology that the British had perfected, the Americans had perfected. And when you go back or fast forward, really to 1980s, you had Mind War, which was put out by the Temple of Seth and General, at the time, Lieutenant Colonel Paul Vallely and Michael Aquino, who was then the head of the Temple of Seth in California. And so what they put out is this idea that they would be able to control humanity through manipulation of the airwaves, technology, media, brainwashing, programming. So really what's happening here, and we heard Putin talking about it recently. Putin was saying, hey, you know what? You wash the brains of your people with your MSM, your mainstream media. And it's all about the satanic agenda. And that's really what's happening. Even Hitler, believe it or not, even the one guy they like to vilify, Adolf Hitler, he said to the effect that, you know, in a speech around 1936, 37, he said simply that, you know, our nation has fallen under the spell of a satanic cult. And they have risen and taken hold of all levers of power throughout the country. And they are able to prosecute anybody for anything if you dare even question them. And that the whole purpose is to prevent any opposition from ever rising against their agenda. Now, that was what Mr. Adolf Hitler was talking about in the 1930s. And are we really any different today? Think about it. Are we really any different today? We're not. We are sitting at a situation now where every major institution of state is against the American people. You had, well, I'll save that for the next, I think, next one. But the point I want to make here is that this whole world we're living in right now, this whole reality that we are faced with, it is very much a crafted reality based on some type of, let's just call it politely, metaphysical principles, which was part of British sciences, literally British sciences, their quote unquote, their gift to the world, which then gets embodied into English, which then gets embodied into the language, which gets embodied into the letters. It's all this great big complicated archetypal matrix with spell binding, spell casting, etc. And they use that to control the minds of so many people. And it's very hard for you to break through that. But once you break through the programming, and once we can get you to see something, it's very difficult for the bind to work anymore. I'm not saying it can't rebind, But it's really hard if you just give yourself a chance, give yourself time to and make the effort to educate yourself. It will be really hard for you to go back and become the same style Nazi that you were. See, they want everybody here to be Nazis. They want you to not see. They want you to not view what is happening out there. So looking forward, you know, we are in a really big mess right now. Let's be honest. The spell that has been cast globally is really strong. You know, we're what, 16 months into this darn COVID thing? And still international travel is down. We still got a bunch of morons sitting there in various public health agencies trying to find excuses not to open things, trying to say, oh my gosh, we need to micromanage every little minor thing. You know, it's so stupid. Seriously, it's stupid. We all know the masks are stupid. Yet still, health organizations around the world are still demanding to wear them. I go everywhere here. Everyone's in a mask. Not around my inner circle, but everyone's in a mess. I'm like, Jesus, these people are so stupid. You can't say anything. Half of them are stupid. Anyways, that's racist comment, okay? They're not the brightest people, but still, they're stupid. It's like, what the hell are you doing? You have air travel shut down. You have now being reported out of the UK. If you've ever been in the banks or the, you know, like I go to like a Hardee's, for instance, which is a burger, not a Burger King. Hardee's is a Carl's Jr. here. And you go in and they got this stupid plexiglass sitting there in front of everybody before all the windows, before all the cashiers, right? Well, now they're finding that that was a problem and they're now going to be urging everybody to take this down. You know, in my business in the Philippines, I had to put this in. I had to put all of this plastic everywhere. Like, and it's like, you know what? This is what happens when you allow a bunch of uneducated, let's just call them, I don't know, a lot of them are just do-gooders. They want to do good. They want to, you know, some of them, let's be honest, you get to that level, a lot of them just, oh, we want to impress you. We're so smart. And this is a bunch of idiots. Seriously, we are living in a clown world where the stupidest of people get to make decisions that affect all of us and we can't get at them. And the point I want to make, I think we're going into a break here. I don't hear it, but let's see here, guys. Yeah, there's the break. I just noticed the time. All right, guys, we'll continue with some of this. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Light Primetime back right after this.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio.
Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back! You can torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us!
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. We're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back. It's Thursday afternoon drive time for a lot of you in the States. We're sitting after 3:30, I think, somewhere like that in California. I think we're around 3:30. Maybe it's 4:30. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But I'm assuming it's 3:30 because I go 6 to 9. Okay, so it should be 3:30. And then, of course, 6:30 dinner time for some of you in New York and up there and on parts of the eastern parts of Canada. So wherever you are, though, if you're sitting like me and eastern, like I'm in Moscow time zone, you know, I'm literally in the Moscow time zone. And so that's 3 hours UTC plus 3 hours. So typically I'm plus 3 hours ahead of London, but that changes with daylight saving. It's hard to keep track of time. Let's go out to the telephone lines. Whoops, I got to turn that one down first, don't I? Bruce will be right with you in a second here. I just got to turn off my bumper music. It's that's going to go off there. And then Bruce, hi, welcome to Inside the iLive Primetime.
Hey, Fitch, how am I coming through?
Great. Actually, fantastic.
Okay. Hey, I was wondering, what are houses, are there single family houses built in Saudi Arabia?
Of course. Too much. You know, here in Saudi Arabia, guys,
are they built out of brick?
Yeah, everything is hollow block here. But, you know, here, every single house is walled off. So you basically cannot see into the house. Everything has a wall around it. Usually the walls are 8 to 9 feet tall. So it's a very high privacy society.
Yeah, that's when I've been to Mexico, the older parts of towns, that's how they built houses there, kind of like a European style with big walls in between the courtyards.
Yeah, and here it's like that. So this is technically not a single story building. This is a 4-unit complex, like a townhouse. But the top of the building is, I don't know the measurements here. It's fairly probably about 1,200 square meters, which is 1,200 square feet, something like that. And you have only 4 units, so 2 on top. Then that each of those top units would get the roof, and then 2 on the bottom, and each of those have their own yards. So that's where I'm at. Yeah. But there's lots and lots and lots of what they call villas here. But villas would be a single family residence.
Villas, yeah. See, I'm not making excuses. I'm just going to put it out the way I see it here on the Texas energy crisis. The one of the major growth industries in Texas, probably number one, is housing. Because they take all these farmlands and ranches and woodlands that are privately owned, and they get sold out to Jewish developers. A lot of them are hit, you know, these huge companies that buy up this land, and then they make them into subdivisions. They bulldoze all the trees, so there's no shade to maximize profits. They build these 2-story McMansions because there's more profit to be made in that than in a single story, you know, something energy efficient maybe, and more usury, more profit. Everything's driven by profit. There's no pre-planning by the government. The government just does whatever will increase their tax property.
I think exactly. They take
in the future.
Yeah, Bruce, I think, I don't know how, but in California, when I was in California, the government would have even develop fees, you know, developer license fees, you know. So you could just, for the same cost of a single family residence, maybe $20,000 was just for fees to the government, just to get the thing going, you know, whether it's a sewage hookup fee, an electricity hookup fee, planning development fees, you know, you add all these fees together, city government's making $20,000 a pop just on the house, and it's probably the same still.
Yeah. See, what happens is you get these huge swaths of houses that are not energy efficient at all. I mean, they're nail gunned together by legal aliens, basically. I'm not exaggerating there. Thrown together with OSB board, which is like that particle board, wood shavings glued together from China.
That's not even safe.
And cram them together, and there's no, they don't expand the roads first. They don't plan for electricity usage or anything like that. They put them up there, and then you have traffic jams, and you have like we're experiencing now. We're now, and they tell everybody turn up your thermostat to 78 degrees. When I live in an older house that was built in the 60s, it has big trees around it. It's comfortable. I'm happy with it. And I'm supposed to raise my I'm supposed to sweat because of this crap. I don't think so.
I kind of hear you on that. I hear you on that. Here, actually, we're much, the government here is very smart how they do things. I'll tell you what, overall, I'm impressed with the Saudi government. I'm not happy with the medical side, okay? You know, the medical team and how they're forcing you into the vaccine. Like now they just announced today, if you want to go to a mall, you're going to have at least one jab of the Pfizer. It's like, screw you guys. Really, why would you do that to your people? You know, I just don't understand why they would do it to their people. Because they're, you know, they're Saudi society. It's not like us where you got a leadership, you know, who in a diverse society, they don't give a crap about anybody. You know, here it's tribal, it's family oriented. And yeah, they tell me, no, Dennis, the government doesn't care. And governments around the world really don't care, but they should. You know what I mean? I don't care. I'm kind of old school. Governments should serve people. The people in government to have a fiduciary duty to serve. And it's like, why would you force people to do this? You know, how stupid. But over other than that, you know, I can't complain.
I'm sorry.
Their programming and everything has been pretty good.
Right. You know, and they have a huge water shortage in California. See, something to be said for a strong government that's not, you know, corrupted to the core.
Correct.
People will say Saudi Arabia, oh, well, their foreign policy, maybe kowtows to Israel. Yeah, maybe so. But overall, will you agree that, you know, Saudi Arabia is run by Saudis?
Yes.
With the.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
You know, and if
so, it's in California, it's run by Jews. And so you don't have, you know, you got this water issue. There's no desalination plants that I know of. And, you know, California, all these states that border the ocean, they can have desalination plants. But, you know, nope. And so they bring in more illegals and they just create problems. And just look at the short term, you know.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, here that if you also in these types of systems here in their government, if you make a mistake, you're gone. You are, you know, basically they're not going to chop your head off, but basically your head is delivered on a platter, in a euphemistic way.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're gone. King calls you up, or somebody from the royal palace calls you up. Say, you know what? We don't like those decisions. We don't like what's done. Your resignation better be on my desk by 3 o'clock this afternoon. Thank you for your service. And you're gone.
Accountability. Wow. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. And that's what we need in America. If we just, people say, and it's true, we have all the laws we need in America, but we don't have accountability and we never hold anybody to account legally, but we have all the laws. I mean, we've already got everything in place. We just don't have accountability. There's no reason, for instance, in any of these states like Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, why any of these poll workers should be walking the streets right now. Not the poll workers, the vote counting areas where we know the fraud took place. They should all be arrested by now. And then let them talk. Let them talk.
The man in Philadelphia is in charge of ethics and the election is a Mr. Bluestein. he's a Jew, and he's the one that blocked observers out of the
He should be arrested again. He should
can't
be
believe that shit,
yeah, this man. Stuff we should just arrest the guy, dude. That's not your job. Your job isn't to prevent accountability. It's to ensure account and just arrest him. That's where we need to go with this.
Isn't that a flip?
Yeah,
imagine that flip when you put a Jew in charge of ethics.
Yeah, that's
true.
Just
think about the absurdity of it.
It really is. All right, Bruce, let's let you go.
Okay,
I got somebody
I'll let
else.
You go. Oh, yeah,
thank you so much. We're going to head out to the 614 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live. Prime time.
Hey, Dan, it's Ray.
Ray, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm actually doing great.
That's a good thing to hear.
No, but I like what Bruce said about the nail gunning, particle boarding, housing industry built to fail. It's built to fail. You know, with the traffic jam at that as well.
Yes, I trust that's very true.
Yeah, I mean, because the nail gunning, particle board industry. You know, they just built the house to fail, right? Have the house built to fail.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The cards fall under the house.
In a tough storm, I'm sure it's not going to survive too well either.
Oh, yeah. You're supposed to build a house on a brick, right? Because when the winds and remember the wolf story? When they huff and they puff and they blow the house, they try to blow it down, but they can't with the brick, right?
Hmm.
Stone, the stonemasons and the brick. I lay brick, Dennis. I laid brick sidewalks. I've laid cement, brick, and block.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't built up. I just lay it on the ground.
You know what I mean? I watch these Bangladeshis do that because they'll be doing the whole freaking street. King Abdullah Road, the whole thing, you know, is like 17, 20 feet wide, and they're bricking the whole thing. I'm like, damn, that's got to be a lot of hard work, you know, and you're just surprised, you know, they start and then a couple of days later, it's like, wow, you guys are making really good progress. There's a talent to it. People don't really realize there is a talent to making this proper and making it look good.
Yeah, you got to make it look good. You got to screed the ground to make it, you know, square and flat. And you got to screed it. You got to put limestone, sand, whatever you want. And then you got to put your blocks and your bricks down and make it, you know, square. And you got to make it look good.
Yeah. So, I've watched them work. It's a little bit, it's hard work, first of all. It's physical labor, obviously. A brick is not, you know.
I'm talking white man industry.
Yes.
And
I'm just saying, I watch it here.
The white guys, man.
Here they leave that for the Bangladeshis. You know, the Saudis are not going to do that. So that's going to be done by Saudis and Indians here.
Oh, you're talking about in Saudi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
So, anyways, what you got for us?
But yeah, man. Here's what I got. The Jewish pole workers equal strippers on the pole. Get it? It's kind of play on words, isn't it?
Not really.
They're working on the pole. The poles, right? Not the Polish. No, the poles. You know, okay. They're working the poles, right? You see what I'm saying?
It's 3 a.m, dude.
Not just the stripper on a pole, but yeah, the pole when they ask people, hey, who'd you vote for? How about the exit polls? Okay. How come we don't get no exit polls now? Huh? Why not? Mm. Why not?
Mm.
Okay, that's step one. Step two is the military exercise. I wanted to ask you, do you know what is going to go on July 9th? Because I hear it around the interwebs, and I want to know. Do you know? Because I looked it up. I actually spent like the first half hour of your show trying to find out what is the July 9th military exercise for a power outage and water. Well, I'll put in water shortage. But do you know anything about that?
No, you would be the first.
Any of your callers?
No, I have not. Well, yeah, callers I can't answer for, but I have not. That has not come across my timeline in anything that I have. So, no, I haven't seen that cross my timeline yet.
Well, it could have been Chris Reinhardt or Giuseppe or Shawnee. Yeah, there's another thing. Shawnee, let's say some prayers for Shawnee. Shawnee's sick. I don't know what the hell is going on. Sean Soapbox, send a prayer. I'll give him some powdered herbs, spirulina, wheatgrass.
Old Oracle guy. Old Oracle colleague, I believe.
Yeah. Yes. No, he's still on. And he actually, I think he's bringing on Chris Weiner onto his network, possibly.
Yeah.
It's a possibility.
Okay.
But the Juneteenth is coming up. So everybody be aware. Okay. If you're white, you better stay in tomorrow and Saturday, because Juneteenth is blackout night.
You know the difference.
Where everybody comes out.
The difference between nowadays and the 1800s. In the 1800s, the whites, you know, and I'm not saying you do this, but it's just the difference. The 1800s, if anybody did this type of violence to a white community, they would basically get a posse together and they'd just go wipe these people out. This type of violence was never tolerated, and that's what made the country safe. This level, you know, wasn't tolerated. You know, they talked about the Oklahoma City riots. It was the same thing. You know, blacks came in, killed 11 whites. The whites got together and basically just obliterated. It's like, screw you people. And I'm beginning to think that over history, much, not all, because I know whites can be assholes too, excuse my language, but I'm sure a lot of it was just done because they got tired of all the violent stuff going on, and so they just reacted to it. They just got tired of it. You know, we hear that from Tom Goodrich regarding the Indian Wars. You know, you just get tired of the violence and you react to it. And now we have zero reaction.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're in the country, that's fine. But if you're in the city, it's not fine. I'm just saying, be careful. You know, if you live in a city like me, which I really, you know, I'm trying to get out, but it takes time. And I don't know how much time is going to be left, but, maybe it'll be bad in some areas, maybe not so bad in others. But with the power outages, if it happens, I don't know. I called my uncle. He's 87. He lives in southeastern Pennsylvania. And I said, look, July 9th, they may pull the plug and turn the power off, but they may not. But they may do it on August 26th, when you never know, you know, and then who? You know, yeah. You didn't know that it was coming on August 26th, yeah, but they're telling you July 9th, you know.
Well,
he was like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think from our point of view is that if we don't have power, we have to prepare. And even if we had power, we'd have to prepare. And that's always an important lesson here.
Yeah, we're addicted to the power. Well, sure. I mean, yeah, but what about Tesla, Dennis? If we had free energy or, you know, wireless.
Well, if we can get it released. I saw something yesterday where there's a new battery. They're taking used nuclear fuel, and they've got a new technology, and they're supposed to be able to create a battery that could run a hospital for 24,000 years.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay,
24,000 years.
Yeah, it's like basically, you know, it's a perpetual machine almost. So I said, okay, let's see that one. All right, that's interesting. Let's see it. I'm not going to diss it. Why should I? Okay, let's see it. All right, I'm. If anything benefits me, show me. I'm okay for that. If it benefits me, show me. Okay, show me. It doesn't mean I'm going to jump on it, but show me. It's interesting. If you can do it, show me.
But that, but see, Dennis, they don't want you to be free. They want you to be a slave.
Well, you know? Certain people do.
If you can't pedal the car, they don't want you to. They don't want you to be free.
Again, these people are not a majority. Okay, let's stop at some point and realize they're not the majority. They're not the majority, man. It's just a matter of getting your coalitions up and taking them out. They're not the majority.
Right. Exactly.
Start in your cities. Right, take it over. The health officials just say, you know what, get the hell out of here. You're not welcome in our town anymore in a very nice and indirect way. You know, you've destroyed our, get the heck out before something happens to you. It's not your town. You act as if you own everything and you're going to tell us what to do. We took over the city now. Get the hell out. Because that's what they're telling you. They come to power. They say, get out of your job. Stop opening your business. Don't go outside. Okay, do the same thing in return. You have the numbers. We actually have the numbers to do this. If everybody just understands to be ruthless equally. Just be ruthless.
What's the update on Fauci?
I don't know. He's still.
Is there an update on Fauci?
I don't have any. He's still out there lying through his teeth. Last I heard, he was talking about how, we never took the Wuhan lab leak off the table. It was always on the table. I heard that today. It's like, dude, you're the biggest freaking liar. I mean, 3 weeks ago, you're telling us to wear two masks. You're the biggest freaking dumb, you know what? Out there, how you manage, you don't even probably have a doctor's degree. He's probably just fake. Everything about this guy's fake. He's just a genocidalist murderer. He's just a literally somebody who grifts off of misery. And that's the worst type of person. And basically, that makes him Jewish.
Well, Netanyahu's gone, but is his successor better or worse?
He's further right. He's even worse than Netanyahu.
Is that good or bad?
He's worse than Netanyahu.
Oh, shit.
He's actually worse.
Oh, no.
He's more radical than Netanyahu. And Netanyahu.
You can't get worse than Netanyahu.
No.
Come on, Dennis.
Give
you
him
can't
time.
Get worse than that.
Give him time. Let him prove himself.
Oh, shit.
He's an extremist. Uh-oh. He's an extremist that makes BLM people look like, I don't know, patsies. Patience. Yeah, let's be patient. All right, let's move on. People are calling in still. Thanks so much for the call there, Ray. Let's go out to the 360 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Ally Primetime.
Afternoon, Dennis. I'm wondering out here in Washington State, did you ever look into this Cohen Jacobs guy?
I did, and didn't like really what I was reading on his website for the most part. So I just didn't want to go further with it. He was basically following in the line of some of his logic with the Daily Stormer, and I'm not a Daily Stormer promoter. So essentially, some of his articles were mirroring Daily Stormer stuff, and I just don't care to pursue that. I don't want to give that level of thinking a ride. I'll listen to some of it, and if it's good, in fact, we've talked, if Anglin does something good, we'll raise it, but a lot of times I'm just not in agreement with what they're saying. So I did go through the website, and I wasn't, you know, I'm like, some of the articles are like, they're, if they're original, they're like the same mindset of Daily Storm. I'm like, dude, okay. So that's why I haven't pursued the guy, because basically I saw a lot of stuff that's mirroring Daily Stormer.
Okay, well, maybe you guys can sit and have a cold one when you move back to the Philippines, and I'm sure he'd love to take up a conversation. He's not desperate, but what he is very frustrated. How come nobody wants to hear what I have to say? Yeah, it's really easy in this world to put up stuff from the pundit or whatever all these obvious misinformation sites are, and he has done some of that, but we're in the process of trying to correct him, and he's, you know, involved in interactions with Nikki on her Facebook, some serious exposing.
No, see, here's an interesting thing. I know you guys are right. I know you guys are right. For instance, if you take Fauci's wife, right? She did a paper in 19, I think, or maybe 2006. And in that paper, she said, you know, communitarian values. She's saying she's a communitarian. And that's Tony Fauci's wife. And she's, of course, the head of the human experimentation ethics. She's head of human experimentation for NAIAD. So, yeah, there's definitely a communitarian cult out there that is in many levers of power, and Tony Fauci's wife is one of them. So yeah, I think you guys got something here. Again, we've always just said, how do we get the communication out in an effective way, and we're generally pretty good at it. It's just that how we do it, you know, we talk about it, we think about it, we strategize.
My recommendation and general outlook is I never use the word we unless I'm talking about my super
secretary. Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomsource.com. We'll be right back.
Regardless, Iserby and Woza Corey, rest in peace.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling
these are not my we. They have talked about humanitarianism. Patrick Wood, he's talking about humanitarianism, but how much of that is
onto the daughters of men,
sending people down the false trail? And we are on the cutting edge of all of this information because someone has shared with us a thing called the internet. And although your BS filter better be
You know what? We're in a break.
You don't have to leave.
We're in a break. We got to cut this. Stay Check on over out. The break. We got to go into a different corner.
I'll do that.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live. It's Thursday, June 17th, 2021. Good Thursday afternoon, everybody, to those of you listening, of course, in the United States. And I guess it's kind of early evening for those of you on the eastern part of the United States. It's just after 2 o'clock in the morning here, locally in Riyadh, which is the same time, I believe, as Russia. I'm not sure, though. Don't quote me on that, because daylight saving time, it kind of screws things up. Let's go on out to Washington again. And we are speaking about communitarianism. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know that I'm full of thought. And I'm hearing this big echo.
Okay.
So with your permission, I think I'll let you tap into another call.
Okay.
But The echo's kind of subsided.
Yeah, I turned you down just a little bit, so maybe you're okay now.
Okay, so, yeah, Nikki Rapana has a Facebook. There are interactions with, you know, 60-some comments from a variety of pretty well-known people, and this is indicating to me that there is a concerted effort that this communitarian word will not be given any traction at this time and place. Once it's fully implemented and there's no turning back, which we're not far from there, then we'll get to put all the cards on the table. So this is my concerted effort to say, all hands on deck. This is a real thing, even though people like Chris Weiner would like to say, oh, no, to me, I never heard of it. And then there's these people, they harass me to bring it up. And really, to me, it's just like Tartaria and Flat Earth. It's just a fad. I really want to focus on the Jesuits and the Masons, and, you know, let's just write this new form of global governance. I mean, Marx didn't say what the final synthesis between the battle between communism and capitalism would be. Chris Weinert insists he did say it would be capitalism. I think that's inaccurate, Chris. I don't think he told us. I'm insisting it's a seven-syllable word that Larkin, Texas, has been beating his head against the wall, saying, are you people unable to read two pages or listen to a multitude of interviews? James Corbett had Rosa Corey on, had Nikki Rapana on, but do you think James Corbett and the Ice Age farmer, and the Ice Age has taken 2 years of onslaught from us? What you're talking about is communitarianism, but you and Curtis Stone, the urban farmer on YouTube, you know, hats off to you. I hope you have a spectacularly beneficial pocket full of shekels future, but you're not talking about this word. Why is that? It's not technocracy and a variety of other, you know, thank you, G. Edward Griffin. The whole new YouTube is going to be about collectivism versus individualism. G. Edward, take your red pill and go elsewhere. We're done listening to your steering people away from what is the new form of global governance. Have you not heard Common Pass, Common Core? I mean, the list is 25 different. It all starts with COMM, but it ain't communism. And you can tell it to L.B. Bork when you, you know, if and when he's open-minded to, we've moved on, buddy. But, it, you know, if you are a has-been and you wrote your book and you've got the only solution, great. But, you know, send me shekels so that you can buy my book and I'll give you the solution. It's all about communism? No, come and live in Washington State for 20 minutes. Listen to Gov Inslee. Every other word is just like Nikki said. It's a new thing, and its opposition will be nothing. It's going to be the perfect synthesis, and there will be no detractors, and that's what Nikki says. Hello, got my hand raised up.
Well,
I'm
again,
a detractor.
You know, I tell you, you've got Inslee. Let's say Inslee is really involved in the communitarian community, you know, it's really a cult. Let's just call it a political cult, just to give it a label here. Got to do something that we're dealing with words. So, okay, Inslee's part of the communitarian cult, and he's using this specific political language that is essentially buzzwords with it that this cult uses. Why is it then within your own community? I mean, how much success do you have raising awareness to exactly what he's doing there. Is there some type of grassroots efforts within the community to raise awareness to what exactly what this is? Because communitarianism as a cult, political cult, it is something that honestly you both, you guys know for more than I, that it's just not making it into the discussion yet. It's something that perhaps needs to be way more, but it's not. It's just not. I have seen it. I look for it in the discussions out and about through various different channels that I review. And yeah, it comes up from time to time. It's not like it's silent. It is being raised, but obviously it's not like, you know, Freemasons or Jesuits or Jews or something else. You know, those are out there all the time. Communists, Nazis, da, 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 da. That word is just not out there, if you know what I mean. And I agree, if this is the master system behind it, or at least one of the master systems, certainly it needs to be raised. As we all know, we can't defeat an enemy we don't label and name. We have to be able to go after it.
Okay, so don't count on the people I know around here, because they are basically doing just like Nikki says, pick a side, either side, doesn't matter. Just believe in your side strong enough that you'll kill somebody that thinks differently than you. Lots of examples of almost getting to that point. So yeah, we have the dialectical divide here. What I'm insisting, Dennis, is, you know, this could be your job, yeah, is to say, you know, we have Breiser in friggin' Ireland, and there's Mark Windows, Lark. The list is, you know, a dozen strong. And Giuseppe has said, okay, Brian, okay, we will do a 2-hour, and, you know, Scorpio does 3 on Saturday. We'll do a full round table so that people know everything in a nutshell. What is this subject? But yeah, as far as counting on people around here, lots of people absolutely insist that trees will live forever. Why are you running that chainsaw? And, you know, don't you know that you kill polar bear cubs? I mean, I see it in these brainwashed left-leaners' faces. And on the right, we have people like the American Wolf, who, you know, defies the mask stop work order, gets on King 5 News. I call him up. I say, you know, you think you're going to wave your constitution, be a patriot, pack a firearm on your side, and change things? You don't even know what the real governance system is. It's called communitarianism. 2 days later, he comes out here. What are you talking about? I said, I don't want you to make a fool of yourself. Here is Nikki's book. Jenna Winton Xerox, 300 some pages. He said, I want something I can sit in the hammock and read. And sure enough, here is this guy. He, on air, said, this is a new system. It's called communitarianism. And I just take Jenna and say, come on, Jenna, I'm going to go buy you a drink, honey. Yeah. You know, this is making some headway finally. And that is the only hopeful that I see. So that's my response.
All right. Very well. You took a good amount of time to make that point. So, all right, Brian, just always stay in touch. You know, you're always welcome. You know, we don't have a solution to where you're going to make it something, but I hear you. I do hear you.
Thanks for your time.
All right. That's Brian, everybody up in Washington. Chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com, InsideTheEyeLive.com. It's currently humming along, just barely, but it is humming along. It just dropped off. Okay, we're doing really, really well. We're not humming right now. We need one more to be humming. We need at least 20 in there, but it's been moving along pretty good. You could join us there at InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. As you've heard, quite a few phone calls already coming in, 323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Anyways, for me, two issues right now I've been really kind of following. Obviously, the vaccine issue, the COVID-19 issue, I'm of the opinion, everybody, that, you know, the medical establishment has declared war on planet Earth. The pharmaceutical companies have declared war on planet Earth. Underneath all of this, is obviously a financial war. We saw, I don't know the lady, she was a conservative Christian woman. She was down in Florida. She had her bank account basically stolen. Technically, it's not stolen because the money in a bank technically belongs to the bank, not to you, even though it's your account. They have a right at any time to steal your money. It's theft from our point of view. But from their point of view, well, it's in our quote unquote, our rights. You know, it's very nice of them to put together a system of terms of service where they can just steal your money. But that happened with Wells Fargo. So you might want to be aware of that if you're involved with Wells Fargo. They did come in. They literally closed a woman's account, had it over $18,000 in it, and just basically took the money. Said, good luck. Send us messages and we'll try to send a check out to you, but you're no longer even welcome in our branches. Do not come to our branches. We will not honor your presence in the branch. And she's basically a Christian conservative. At the same time, we've got cases where, you know, they can do that to you. Facebook can block you. Twitter can block us. All these major leftist Jewish institutions from YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, they can block us anytime they want, remove us from their platform because, quote unquote, they're a private company. Yet today the Supreme Court comes down on that Colorado baker again and said, no, you don't have a right to refuse service to the LGBT community. You must serve them. So as we can see, it's just all a bunch of hypocrisy. It's all criminality. One set of laws for you, another set of laws for me. I have to bow down to you, but you can do whatever you want for me. That's tyranny. Let's be honest. This is a tyrannical system. So this is an issue moving forward, and it's all coming from one community, the LGBTQ/Jewish community. And if you think otherwise, you're naive. For instance, this week, a big fuss was made out of Merrick. I think his name is Merrick Garland. He's the head of the Department of Justice, which is basically a really them and the FBI are the two of the most corrupt institutions in the United States. And it's like this guy's talking, and I think this is the clip. Let me see if I can play this clip here. And he's talking about the greatest threat now facing the United States. And of course, it's what? It's white nationalism, white supremacy. And people just don't see. No, that's not the clip. Apparently, I don't have it queued. Let me see if I got it queued somewhere else, because that's not the clip. Let's see. Where's Merrick? Where are you, Merrick? There you are, Merrick. Let me see if I can get this clip queued quick enough. Anyways, maybe I can't get it. But he's out there saying in the FBI's view. Okay, he's not DOJ, he's FBI. In the FBI's view, the top, I thought he was DOJ, though. Attorney General Merrick Garland. Yeah, he's Attorney General. Anyways, the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocate for the superiority of the white race. Now, of course, he's Jewish. He's Jewish, everybody. And that is what's missing from the discussion here. Nobody is talking to the fact that all this guy did is changed his culture and substituted the white race. The real issue here is the danger to the republic is the racial and ethnically motivated violent extremism from the leadership of the Jewish community. That's the key here. All he did was projected the danger he and his ilk of other Jewish leadership onto basically innocent white people that don't even have a clue what's going on. They don't even know how to name the Jew yet. They haven't figured that part out. Nobody is talking about how Merrick Garland's talking points are 100% pulled from the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, which is one of the most extremist Jewish groups out there. The ADL is like America's campaign against anti-Semitism. They're foreign lobbies working on behalf of global Israeli power projection, and they will go after anybody that they deem to be in their way, or they just have a vendetta against you. They don't like you. They'll spy on you. They'll and who knows what else they might be doing behind the scenes. But this is the real issue here. Nobody's talking about that. They want to just say, oh, the white people. It's like, oh, it's the white people. No, it's not this. They're using Jewish talking points, everybody. Feed it back in this way. Let it be known. Listen, Tucker, he's a Jew. He's just projecting Jewish extremism. Their hatred for everybody, but especially quote unquote white people, onto everybody else. And nobody's saying that. But that's just, it's not any more complicated than that. Let's go out to 705. Lonnie, how are you?
Hey, Dennis, good. How are you, man?
Oh, man, haven't heard from you in a while. What's been happening?
I've just been laying back and
that's a good thing.
Listening to everybody else instead of talking.
That's all right. That's a good thing.
But we're gonna do a little talking now. I want to comment on Brian's call there about communitarianism, but first I want to comment on how he was going after Chris Weinert, how he's maybe not, you know, embracing communitarianism. Fine, fair enough. maybe he needs to learn more about that, okay? But him saying, oh, it's the Jesuits or the Masons, that is absolutely not true, Brian. It's not true. If I cared enough, I'd go back and get the shows where Chris Weinert made it very clear that Masonry was Jewish and that Jesuit order was created by Jews. Crystal clear. And he says the Jews. I'm sorry, Brian, but I didn't hear the word Jew once in that whole rant you just did. So grow a pair, my friend. Don't be obfuscating and saying that somebody is saying it's somebody else when he's not saying that, and you don't have the balls to say who it is.
Well,
that,
you know,
pisses me off,
yeah,
Brian.
And one thing also, Lonnie, is that of the top 12, there's 12 key positions inside of a presidential cabinet slash organization. Of the top 12, 10 are Jewish. You know what I mean? 10 are Jewish. Then we got people like this guy, Merrick Garland. He's talking about, oh, my parents escaped from Western Europe to escape anti-Semitism. It's like, okay, you come here. Now you want to persecute us, you son of a bitch? You're coming here.
Oh, these bastards.
You know, it's like, dude, you're just coming here and saying you want to persecute the native people here. And you are a freaking migrant yourself, and you're so proud of this, and oh boy, we're coming here to get a better life, and now you're going to try to screw everybody else's and what they're doing to some of the people from the January 6th, quote unquote, the insurrection, which was planned by the FBI. It's like, you know what, these guys are so freaking out of hand. It's 100%, because when you hear the talking points, it's all ADL
is Jewish. I mean, why not say that, Brian? I mean, come on. I mean, I know he knows that, but have the balls to say it every single freaking time the word communitarianism comes out of your mouth. And here's the thing. I know what communitarianism is. I know it's a system, but it's just the new system. And I understand the details enough of it enough to be productive with exposing it. I know what their goals are with this. But what bothers me about this communitarianism crowd is they somehow think that this awareness is gonna grind this Jewish menace to a halt. That is complete BS. The only thing that's going to grind them to a halt is splattering their freaking skulls. I'm tired of this pussy footing around BS, okay? Communitarianism for this crowd is nothing more. It's equivalent to, you know, Christ is going to return BS from some of the Christian crowd. It's complete freaking bullshit. Now, I'm a very Jew-aware guy. I'm a warrior-class guy. I know what communitarianism is. I know it's the new system. But having that awareness does what for me to stop them? I'm sorry, failing to see it.
Mm.
It does little for me. Yes, it helps me understand what's going on. Thank you for that, guys. And I can pass that on to other people. But even if the whole Jew-wise crowd out there were aware of communitarianism, never mind the sheeple crowd, but even if the whole Jew-wise crowd got it, so what? Now what? What are they going to do with that information? It's, you know, we all know the Jews did 9/11. What the hell is that doing for us now?
Well, another thing I just want to raise real quick. Yeah, and you know what's interesting? I don't know if you caught Tucker Carlson this week, but I was actually shocked. I should have stopped and recorded it right then and there. Tucker Carlson literally linked 9/11 and a few other things directly to the FBI. I'm like, I can't believe you did that. Wow. He actually just straight come up. 9/11 is
step in the right direction.
Yeah, it's like 9/11 is basically the FBI was involved in 9/11. It's like, I can't believe you just said that, dude. Wow. And of course, other people have made comments like Tucker goes straight for the jugular. But no, finally, yeah, of course the FBI was involved in 9/11. They're just, the FBI is a cover-up agency, and then they're a persecution agency. They're nothing to do with
predators.
They are predators, 100%.
Yeah.
And anyway,
because I know you're about to go to bottom of the hour break here, Dennis. again, I'll say it again to the communitarianism crowd. Thank you for the continued exposure of this and education on this. It is necessary. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure others do as well. But it is not single-handedly going to be our savior. Yet this crowd really seems to believe that. And if you really believe that, you're utterly failing to communicate to me how that's going to do it. You can snap your fingers and everybody on earth knows what communitarianism is. So what? It's not going to do anything. Because we have this they have this false belief that if everybody just understood how all-pervasive and how evil this is, we would stand up to it. Yeah, good luck with that. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it.
Yeah,
there's only one way we're going to stand up to this and solve this, and I've been saying it loud and clear to the point of it's probably dangerous for me to say it the way I do. Grow some balls, people.
You know, Lonnie and
everybody. Sorry, Dennis. Let me finish one last thing.
Sure.
A lot of people are bashing Chris Weinert lately, and maybe I missed something. Okay, I'm open to the fact that maybe something occurred I don't know about. As far as I know, Chris Weinert is a good man, and he's one hell of a great educator. That guy has a Rolodex memory on par with a guy like Alex Jones. I mean, really amazing memory of information. I see nothing that this guy is a disinformation guy. Open to the possibility, but if you guys out there are going to continue to bash Chris Weinert, please tell me why exactly. I'd like to know.
Okay. I'll just have to leave it at that. There's your break. All right, we'll leave it at that, Lonnie. Thanks so much.
Take care, man.
All right, take care. All right, guys, going into a break. Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Back after this.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Broadcasting live from the peak of Mount Warning, the most easterly point of Australia, tune in to the Free Manatee Radio Show with your host, Spread Love, every Monday, 6 a.m. EST.
On the show each week, we discuss realistic solutions to help you observe rather than take part in the globalist agenda. We will dig into the past to find solutions for the future. We will discuss the wisdom of Ayurveda, the science of life, for techniques for understanding and achieving personal health and longevity. Please join us every Monday on Studio A, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Freemanity Radio broadcast with your host, Spread Love, on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live primetime again, Thursday, June the 17th. Chat room humming along, insidetheeyelive.com. You can click on that live chat button. Telephone lines 323-275-1325. I said that wrong. 323-275-1314. And that's just what we have now. 917 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live primetime. That is you, 917. Yes. Yes, you are. Mr. E. All right. I gotta remember you, dude. Yeah. All right. Then welcome back. You had a great call. I listened to it back over the weekend. Good call.
But Freemasonry was only a launching pad for the takeover of, let's say, America and Great Britain in Europe, which is done using much more powerful groups such as the Council on Foreign Relations and the Royal Institute of International Affairs and the Bilderberg Group and a number of other large think tanks. So if anybody out there is still talking about Freemasonry, and I happen to be an expert on Freemasonry as well, we can go into depth on another call about Freemasonry. I'll give you the entire history and how it became the springboard to the secret societies that have basically created these other think tanks and quasi-governmental organizations, such as the Council on Foreign Relations, for the real power that they would use to take over a country. But just to be brief, I don't want to go into a lengthy dissertation here for the audience. Let me just say this. We've heard several people, such as this phony, Eric John Phelps. Does that ring a bell?
No, that name doesn't. Apparently it doesn't matter because you're calling him phony. So, okay. But no, it doesn't.
Okay. Well, Phelps is one of the key operatives being used by the Jews to misdirect blame onto other groups, such as the Jesuits, principally. He wrote the famous book, Vatican Assassins. It's total nonsense that is only going to be believed by the gullible and the uninformed, by somebody like Phelps, who has been provided with notes. Phelps, by the way, is another version of Schofield, Cyrus Schofield, that came out with the Schofield Bible.
Okay.
That became the blueprint for Zionism. Phelps is another version of Schofield, except in this case, they use Phelps to, and another guy named Edmund Paris up in Canada, to publish books, which of course they provide them with the notes, as they did to Schofield, to misdirect blame from them onto other groups. Now, why do they choose the Jesuits? Why do they choose the Catholic Church? It's very simple. Because when there's a worldwide conspiracy, largely of Jews, I'll use the term the usual suspects to avoid using that term repeatedly, because I know it could bring pressure on the network these days. The usual suspects are a large international group working together. So they had to find another large organization that could be plausibly blamed for these crimes, because it's large enough, it has enough influence like the Catholic Church does. But what they do is that they will come up with false statements that no one will ever bother fact-checking. Let me just mention one. We'll maybe in another call, if you ever want to go into more depth on this subject, I'll give you some more background. But here's one example that you hear all the time on the Truth Networks. It's the case where George Washington supposedly told Marquis de Lafayette of France, when he visited, if America is ever to fall, it'll be at the hand of those scurrilous Jesuits, because in every country in Europe, they have undermined the power of those nations, and on and on and on. It's a completely fake quote. Actually, there was a similar quote made. I did the research, as well as another Catholic theologian who was actually very well informed on the subject, named Archbishop Spalding of Kentucky. This went on in the late 19th century. The short version is this. He challenged the person putting out that quote to provide any substantiation of it. The person was Samuel Morse. Remember the Morse code?
Yeah.
That's who the guy was. Samuel Morse is the one that they used as a mouthpiece to spread that disinformation back in the late 19th century. And so he challenged him to a debate. And he did it through letters. And basically, he schooled him. I mean, Spalding was very professional, and he did his research. And Morse was dodging him and never came up with an answer and said, well, I can't tell you who they are because they said I can't reveal their identity. Bottom line is, it was completely fake. The quote was never made in the church in Boston. But I do believe a similar quote did exist that was stated by George Washington. And this is corroborated by the fact that there are other similar quotes that Washington mentioned. Remember the one about what did he call them? Not the Jews. He called them, the Jesuits. He called them, what was the other moniker that they used for the Jews back then, the Judahites or something?
Well,
and Washington mentioned that they were behind the French Revolution.
Jacobins.
The Jacobins, thank you. And he did make
do I get any prop for a semi-quality memory?
Hey!
I'm just teasing you, man.
Thanks. Listen, I need all the help I can get, because I went through an episode. I actually had heavy metal exposure due to welding years back, and it still affects my memory. I get these memory holes. Yeah, if you know about heavy metals, if you're exposed to heavy metal fumes industrially or through welding, and welding is you're breathing in mercury, you're breathing in cadmium, arsenic, lead, sometimes aluminum, and molybdenum, and many other toxic chemicals, but it's particularly the lead and the mercury that affect the brain. And the problem is the brain is like a one-way filter. When metals go into the brain, and it could be other toxins such as those spike proteins as well, and those vaccines and prions. Once they enter your brain, it's very hard for them to come out. It's like a one-way filter. So this is what happens. I've gotten most of them out through chelation, but still I have some memory issues where sometimes I'm trying to invoke some memory that I did reading, you know, and I read it extensively in the past, and sometimes it takes a while for it to come back, and this is one of those cases. But thank you. Yes, it was the Jacobins, who I think was just a euphemism for the Jews back at that time. But he knew that the Jacobins were the ones that were responsible for the French Revolution. And if you do your history, your French Revolution history, we'll find out that the French Revolution was hatched out of the Mizraim Lodge, Mizraim, which is a Hebrew word, in Paris. Are you familiar with that fetch, the Mizraim Lodge in Paris?
I'm not, no. No.
Well, thanks to that lodge, well, it brought about the French Revolution, which Washington, being in regular communication with other, you know, foreign heads of state and dignitaries, he knew that they were the ones that were behind the revolution. Of course, this came out later on, that it was that lodge. But what we also found was that the protocols of the learned elders, guess which lodge it came from?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, the Mizraim Lodge. And it was sold to a woman who had fled Russia, was it Russia? She was fleeing the violence that took place later on in Russia. And she went to Paris and met a Jew, and he was like a Benjamin Friedman Jew, you know, a Jew that was enlightened, and he was not, didn't want to be part of any violent revolutions. And he actually sold her a copy of the protocols for 5,000 francs at the time. And let me tell you, Fetch, they hunted him down. And remember, there was no internet back then. There was no GPS tracking on a phone or the use of credit cards to track where you've been spending. They tracked him down and they caught him. I believe it was in Egypt, and they killed him.
Wow.
Doing that.
Wow.
But yeah, that was the Mizraim Lodge. But just getting back to the original point, because you may have other callers there and I don't want to hog up all your time. I could debunk many of the big, oftenly quoted misdirection quotes that are being used to direct the blame of the usual suspects onto the Freemasons, the Rosicrucians, the Jesuits, the Catholic Church, and other groups. Because what they're doing is, these people, I'll tell you one thing, we have to give the devil his due. They're brilliant, Fetch. They cover their tracks. They're so brilliant that, and this only comes after years of researching this, you find out that they're covering their tracks before they even lay them. They've already got a guy behind covering the tracks. So in other words, they're misdirecting and laying false evidence trails as they're committing these crimes. And we're seeing it even recently with things like 9-11, misdirection in 9-11, and even to steer you in the wrong direction. Remember the no planes? They had the truthers arguing over. There were no planes. There were holograms. Remember all that?
Mm-hmm.
And now I happen to be a structural engineer, and I knew there was something awry when I started seeing like the Popular Science article explaining how the towers collapsed when they hit with the airplane.
You know, this is how seriously, you are so right. This is how serious they were at the misdirection and cover up. When this happened, I had an office across from, I think, the Wilshire Marriott Hotel, I believe, or Wilshire Ramadan, one of those. In central, like Koreatown, right? Just west of Wilshire. Not west of Wilshire, west of Western Avenue. And there it was, right? Or it was just east of Western. But anyways, it's right there in Koreatown. So when I saw the internet, I went on the internet and I saw this picture, you know, and this was back in the days of Netscape. That was the big browser, right? Netscape was still kind of big. And I'm like, wow, what the hell's going on here, right? So I went down to the hotel, and then everybody's gathered around the TV. We didn't have a TV in the office. And there, they start to collapse, and some SOB, right? He's there, And he says, you know, I've been working on the Pentagon. I'm an architect. Da, 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 da. And wow, the building just did exactly as it was designed to do. It just collapsed and pancaked in its place, so it didn't fall over and hurt people other than, you know, the footprint. I'm like, seriously? And I'm like, dude, that's a plan. Dude, you're a freaking plan. You're trying to misdirect all these people gathered around in this five-star hotel. So we all go home and say, yeah, I heard this guy talking about how this and that, just to start spreading the rumor. And that's what you're referring to. They will actually lay their cover story before they do the deed. And that was a clear case of that. This guy was a plant to tell everybody there.
Yep.
30, 40 people. And then this guy goes, I'm an architect. And wow, it just did exactly what it was planned to do when I was working on the Pentagon. And I'm like, you're a plant, dude.
Yeah.
That just disappeared from thin air. A pancake means all the floors are still there. Where'd they go? It's like, come on, dude. You're not
Fetch, if you go all the way back to Dealey Plaza and the JFK assassination, they had agents of misdirection in Dealey Plaza to misdirect police to where the shots were being fired from. That's how well planned out these people are. I think because they've been doing these things for so many centuries, they've refined the methods and they've sometimes had the backlash of being discovered as the perpetrators. So they've refined the methods and they've weeded out things, and they even have contingency plans, like false witnesses that will come forward. For instance, do you remember the false witness that came out when the so-called the plane, Dick 93, hit the Pentagon? And they had this guy that was a priest. And I did a little research on that priest, by the way, and it finds out that he was a disgraced priest that was caught in a pedophile activity. So more than likely, they basically made a deal with him and said, look, all you're going to do is go out there and tell people that you saw the plane come over and take down this telephone pole and hit the Pentagon. That was an agent of misdirection. And there were others as well, because, you see, the media knows that there's going to be some eyewitnesses that are going to come forward. So we need to have numerous contingency plans. That guy that you met, I guarantee you, I can't say I guarantee you, but I strongly suspect, because I'm a structural engineer. And I can tell you for certainty, it is impossible for a building to come down in a symmetrical pancake collapse. First of all, it's impossible for a steel structure building to come down when it's hit by an airplane that's loaded with kerosene. Because if airplanes with kerosene can take down H columns that are 3 inches to 4 inches thick at the base of the building, and even heavier than that, then every barbecue in America, it would melt down when you put coals in there, because the charcoal barbecue is hotter than that fire was.
We've been around this story forever. It's just so insane. I just found it interesting that Tucker Carlson actually implicated the FBI in 9/11 the other day. It's like, wow, dude, that's actually pretty good. And a lot of people probably missed it.
I would like to hear that clip, because I've become increasingly disenchanted with him. I now refer to him as Cucker Carlson, because he will not report on the massive numbers of savage black on white murders of innocent whites that are going on here in America. He will not comment on them. He won't cover the story, but he, and I call Sean Vanity, will be in tears on the air if a black child gets hit by, let's say, a stray bullet in Chicago when some black thugs are shooting it out. So I'm surprised to hear him covering that. You know, it may be. Tucker may know that his credibility is really languishing at this point, because so many people have seen. First of all, he was a major sellout in the Trump election. Remember when he came out and said, I can't do it. I can't go into the Hunter Biden laptop because I knew him in college. We're friends. I live right down the street from him. I mean, really, Tucker? When the election itself could be hinging on a major corruption scandal like this that could cause Joe Biden to have to step down and put somebody else in his place because it's that bad of a scandal. We're talking about a laptop loaded with the statutory rape of 11 and 12-year-old girls. And what I hear, they're not just rapes. I hear they're violent rapes.
I'm sure they are.
So, yeah, he stabbed us in the back.
Yeah, he did actually. He totally flew the coop, you know, and didn't do anything after Election Day. Even he goes after, what was it? Not Jenna Ellis, Sidney Powell, saying, "What? Show us the proof. Where's your proof? You know, you keep talking, but where's the proof?" You know, that type of thing. And that really took a lot of steam out of the enthusiasm at that time. And it actually had a big effect on the movement back then when he did that. So, yeah, he's had a, I don't listen too much to him, but, you know, he is still somebody out there that moderately gives us, you know, he's gone after the vaccines a bit. He's done some of that. So at least he's somebody. I mean, we don't have a whole lot of voices out there.
Yeah, he's like I said, I give him credit for covering some stories. But what I tell people is Tucker Carlson and others like him in the MSM will never lead to any significant change, meaningful change in the direction that this country is going. Because the reason they allow a Tucker Carlson, you know, the controlled opposition, the controlled right, is that America needs a pressure relief valve. Because everybody's pressure is building up and they don't want it to blow, because if it blew, there might be actual grassroots movements of people doing mass civil disobedience. And they don't want that. So they allow you to sit home, munch a gone potato chips and a Budweiser, watching Tucker and saying, "You tell him, Tucker, you know, expose AOC and Pelosi and, you know, with other," basically, I think recently he went into the January 6th insurrection. I mean, Fetch, is this, can you believe it when you hear the word insurrection being invoked?
No, that's, it's such an offensive thing to do to our sensibilities. It's what I call intellectual violence. You guys are just, you're abusing us literally by calling it that, because it was nowhere near that. If there was to be an insurrection by Whitey, you would know about it and you would not have escaped. It's that simple. It was nowhere near an insurrection. If we, as the white America, really wanted to take it down and we were all determined to do it, and we agreed to do it, that Congress would not have lasted. We would already shot them all, or just held them to trial and then shot them. They would not have escaped. So to call it an insurrection, first of all, it's an insult, because we're not that incompetent. You know what I mean? We're not that incompetent. And it wasn't. It was a tourism jaunt by so many of these people. They just thought, oh, wow, they let us in the Capitol. How cool is that, man? Came to see the president. Now they let us in the Capitol building. It's kind of cool. And that's really what happened for so many of those Americans that went there. It was just like, wow, this is kind of cool. It was like an exciting tourism event. Yeah, there was some radical stuff going on in around the periphery, but most of that probably was agent provocateur stuff. Probably.
Well, we know that now. It's provable, because there are enough witnesses on the ground that have come forward that say that they were present when they started attacking and banging on the windows to try to get into the chambers, to the congressional chamber. And there were witnesses there that went to Capitol Police and said, "Look, we've got these guys here. We believe that they're agent provocateurs with Trump, you know, MAGA hats on." And they were told to stand down. They would not budge from their position. They were given orders to stand down, kind of like on 9/11 with NORAD. And but without going down that rabbit hole, it looks so clear now that the evidence is coming out. I'm thinking that that Babbitt, what's her name? Was it Sidney Babbitt?
No, Ashley Babbitt.
Ashley Babbitt. I'm starting to think that Ashley Babbitt, I don't know what happened with her, but I don't know. This reeks. First of all, we know that the cop that shot her, the Capitol policeman, was a Black Lives Matter activist, that he had made numerous posts. He was anti-white. So if he did actually shoot her, then that was a black on white hate crime. It's clear she was unarmed and she was posing no imminent threat. But then people say when they saw the crime scene, it didn't look like somebody really was shot. So you don't know what, and these are people that were present. So now you're wondering, was that a psyop? I don't know anymore. We don't know, because we are separated from primary sources. You and I and everyone else hear people saying that they saw this and they heard it. They know somebody that was there. But unless witnesses are brought before a grand jury, you know, the evidence is never going to be made clear enough for us to indict.
You know, I have avoided the Ashley Babbitt story specifically because of the ambiguity of the story. There's enough information out there that throws, you know, a shadow over this thing to where I don't want to cover it and just assume it's true. There's too many people that are very professional at video monitoring, video analysis, to say, no, this didn't happen. The person, if you're shot that close from this type of thing, you ain't going to fall that way. You're not going to fall backwards. You're going to basically just drop right in your tracks. You're going to just literally drop like a rock. You're not going to fall backwards. Oh, you know, with drama. No, you would drop like a rock. They're saying, look, if you're taken out in the neck, you're going to drop like a rock. Just literally straight down. She should have hit her head on the windowsill on the way down.
You know, the bigger point is, how about calling together a grand jury to find out, you know, through chain of command, why the Capitol Police stood down when we have witnesses that we could bring before a grand jury to say, I was there. He could identify the police officer. And then they would have to answer, why didn't you respond when you had specific information about someone trying to break into the, you know, the congressional chamber, and then find out who gave him the order? We know it's going to go to Nancy Pelosi.
Correct.
And probably AG Barr. Now, do you know Barr?
Well, you're out of time. You're out of time. You're out of time. It's going to have to leave it, Barr. Thank you, callers. You let me only have to do half hour today. I feel like I lost control of the show, but you guys put on a good show. So thank you so much for that. We'll see y'all Saturday Inside the Allies, 10 o'clock game night.
Listening to Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what...